Welcome to the daily VFN radio highlights at VFNTV.com. Enjoy. I guess you heard this. Our president, President Barack Obama, spoke at the United Nations.
Right.
And when you're speaking to the United Nations, you have to hear, speeches are very important. We've lost the historical perspective of speeches, but realize that, you know, how God advances his kingdom is through the spoken word, is through somebody's ability to tell somebody about him. And then, of course, it's not just that verbal communication. God's spirit convicts them and draws them in addition to that. It's not just you telling somebody, but God's working with you, confirming his word. But yet you had to open your mouth. You had to actually communicate the gospel of the kingdom of God. And for years, debating, that was the key. The key to success in America, the world in general, but in America, was your ability to give a speech and the ability to debate. You know, and you go to Harvard, you'd watch debates, and you have to be able to switch back and forth, you know, pro and con. You got to go back and forth. You can't just say, okay, I'm going to pick one viewpoint and argue it, because all of a sudden the professor would say, okay, switch. And now you got to quit arguing for it, and you got to start arguing against it. And that's one thing we need to really do, is to be, you know, aware of that personally, that, you know, don't just put your viewpoints in a box and assume you're right. You know, find out what God has to say about it. And then here's somebody's, you know, viewpoint. Hear what they're saying, because you might find out in what they're saying is that 80% of what they're saying is right. It's just the 20% that tainted the waters. And you can be in agreement with them at 80%, and then you can start talking to them about the 20% and what God says, for example. And so debating and speech giving, you know, was a very powerful tool. And the truth is, it still is a powerful tool. People just act like it's not. And so when somebody gives a speech, understanding that our present leaders, and there's only like 44 or 45 presidents ever been in America, I guess he's the president of almost 45, that 44.
I think it's 44 right now.
Yeah. 44. That's a small group of men, 44. And they got there because of their ability to give a speech, you know, because, you know, that type of thing. And so when you hear somebody give a speech, especially a president, realize there's speech writers. There's people that are writing every single word, every single adjective, every single noun. They are placing it on the grid of humanity, on the grid of the world, on the grid of the nation, on the grid of their political parties. I mean, they're thinking this thing through. They're putting it on a grid of their value system, their vision for America, you know, their vision for what they're, where they're wanting to take America, for example, and how they perceive America in the world. So every word's important. So you can't just, like, you know, hear an overview and just go, that was nice. Because if you hear any speech, almost every speech you ever hear is political. If you listen to them in an overview, you can almost every single time just go, wow. But if you're a person who's not into that, you're going to listen and understand the significance of that. You'll listen to every word. And it's, now you may have 10 different groups, for example, and say these 10 different groups have an agenda. And they're hoping that the president or a senator or congressman or whoever is going to support their agenda. Right. So they're listening in that text of that speech. Is he mentioning, is he talking about us? And what did he say about us? Now, people without agendas, you know, don't listen that well. And every Christian, every constitutionalist, and every Christian, you know, our agenda is to maintain a free America, the First Amendment, Second Amendment, you know, the Constitution, and the freedom of us to worship and to gather. And so we do have an agenda. Our agenda is freedom.
Right.
To follow God. And so we need to listen. We need to listen to every single speech. We need to listen to every speech your local people make. When people say, well, you know, I'm not running for national office, therefore I don't have a viewpoint on this. And you go, well, okay, well, I won't vote for you then. Because you want to know, you want to know from the top to bottom, you know, you have an obligation to share with me what your viewpoint is. You know, not necessarily your party affiliation, but what's your viewpoint? What's your values?
All right.
And you want to know that so you can make a decision. You're asking me to make a decision for you, but you're not telling me your value system. Well, I'll never be faced with a decision like that. Well, you're right, because I'm not going to vote for you. And hopefully nobody else will if you're not going to share the truth about how you feel. And it's going to become more and more relevant as we move along. But in his speech, the president said in his speech at the United Nations, you have to understand, this is on the heels of, you know, great unrest across the world. This is on the heels of the prophetic words that we've been hearing and seeing fulfilled. This is on the heels of our president going to his first international speech in Cairo, Egypt, to be able to say that it is my job as president of the United States to fight against every negative stereotype of Islam in the world, no matter where it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the text of the speech. And we have that on the VFN Torch. You can go to VFNTV.com and see that. And there seems to be a huge bias towards, you know, because at the same time, it's like, what about the negative stereotypes of Christianity?
You know?
America's full of it. Every film that comes out of Hollywood, you got to buy devices just to be able to see anything coming out of Hollywood that filters out all of the negative things they say about Christianity and our values.
Right.
And yet, you know, here we are at the United Nations now. He's already told Israel that, and we're talking, you know, God's news behind the news. What's the perspective here? Bibi Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister of Israel, is crying out for help. We got, and think of it this way. It's not just Benjamin Netanyahu. This is God putting us all on the scales of justice. This is Jacob.
Right.
This is, think of Israel as the apple of God's eye. Think of Israel as our measuring stick in regards to how do we respond to God. And at the very end, this is what it says in the Bible, which only 18% of self-professing Christians are reading, according to George Barna, and only 3% are concerned about where they are on the map of God's word, is every nation will be judged on how we responded to Israel. What do we do with the land? What do we do with the land? And so what you're looking at, the God was speaking through Benjamin Netanyahu, the prime minister. He was speaking through Jacob. It says, you know, where are you going to stand on judgment day? Where are you going to stand when I began to judge the world? Every nation will be judged in how they dealt with the land of Israel. And it was like God laying it out before us. I mean, it was like we just had some simple, you know, whiteboard with a bowling ball looking drawing with a little, you know, Acme bomb thing that you see in the Roadrunner, some sort of bomb with a fuse. I mean, it was so basic that nobody, I mean, you don't have to be in Harvard to figure this out.
Right.
And you don't have to speak English to figure this out or Arabic or Hebrew. I mean, it was obvious.
Mm-hmm. Plain as day.
And he was talking about where to draw the line. And think about this. Think about this. God's telling us through Israel right now, where will you stand on judgment day when I'm judging every nation, every ethnos, for where you stood about the land of Israel? And that's what we're here. VFM Radio is here to give you a biblical perspective. You know, forget about all, don't get all caught up in this roller coaster ride of these emotions and polls and everything. Realize, you know, the whole world just was given a referendum by God through Israel, through the prime minister of Israel, you know, and Israel and Jacob. That's, you know, Jacob got his name Israel when he wrestled with God. And so when you hear Jacob and you hear Israel, it's the same people. And what do we do with Israel? We're going to be judged based on that. And so Iran's saying, you know, we're going to annihilate them. We're going to push them off the face of the earth. We're not going to be happy until, you know, that, you know, and they're openly saying this. This is not like something you have to say, well, so-and-so reports and allegedly this is going on. I mean, this is what he's saying in the United Nations.
Oh yeah,
he's publicly saying this, and he says we're trying to get a nuclear bomb to be able to do this. And what Benjamin Netanyahu told us, and this is what John was talking about yesterday, is that they are in the second phase, and we have to draw the line now in the second phase before they finish the second phase, because if they finish the second phase, the last phase could only be 2 weeks or so. And I think about PTL. What's the founder of PTL?
Jim Baker.
Jim Baker. Yeah, Jim Baker went to jail for some false accusations that panned out to be unproven, and he was released on that stuff. And but while he was in there, God gave him 33 prophetic words, 33 of them. And we'll see if we can make these available today. Remind me to make these available today on the VFN torch for you. And I think 32 out of the 33, all but one of them, we'll just say that because I'm trying to hit numbers here. All but one of them has come to pass. All but one. And you know what the last one is? It's nuclear material. I think it's in Kedron Valley. Remember Kedron, we were there on the wall overlooking Kedron Valley.
All right.
Which means, you know, will Israel use nuclear power to stop Iran? And it's going to be, you have to stop everybody at the same time because it's not like you can focus on one nation because you got, it's like a trembling cup the way God said it would be.
All right.
And there was nuclear material in Israel. And so our president, here he is. You understand who our president is. He's us. We're so divided in the land that we act like that our spouses are not us, that our children are not us, that our neighbor is not us, that a political party is different than us is not us. And it's like, we're Americans. You know, it's one people. And so when you see our leader that, you know, the majority of Americans voted for, you know, that is us. You know, and we can individually, of course, stand right before God in regards to Israel, and we do. But as a nation, as a whole, that's us, which means you can stand right before God. You can honor Israel. You can pray for the peace of Jerusalem. And we've been praying for, I mean, it's, think about this. I wish I could share with you the prayer. I don't have the prayer up, but we've been praying a very specific prayer over Israel for years now. Because we have a prayer, in VFN family, we have a virtual, you know, VFN, Vine Fellowship Network prayer and fasting community that we come and do 3-hour watches during that time. And then it totals 24 hours. And we've been doing that for quite some time, thousands of hours. But we pray for Israel's part of those prayers, very specific. And one that we specifically pray about is the bombs.
Yeah.
We pray that God would prevent, to cancel, to uncover, and stop any car, bus, nuclear, suicide bomb, I mean, every kind of bomb, uncover and stop it.
Right.
Is that not true? This is what we've been doing for years.
Sure.
And we also have been praying that God would give the Prime Minister of Israel wisdom and to be able to stand up for us. And you look at him. I mean, we got the Prime Minister standing up like we've been praying. We have him drawing a picture of a bomb that we've been praying against.
Right.
And it's like, so we've been standing with Israel. Plus, we, you know, we're connected with CUFI, and you can too. CUFI.org, Christians United for Israel, keeps America's leaders' feet to the fire about Israel. And believe me that they're listening. The Palestinians know about CUFI. And there's things like CUFI in Congress that keeps them from getting their way with just one or two of our leaders. We support, we're connected to Avi Mizrahi in Tel Aviv and supporting him. As a matter of fact, he's going to be in Jacksonville, I think, again soon. And you can do that individually, but understand if you're in a nation that's turning its ways against Israel, that nation's going to suffer. And God may spare you, but you're not the nation. See what I'm saying? And so our president, the president of the United States, stands before the United Nations after he told Israel, I will not meet with you,
right,
because he had to go do The View. And the other day I flipped on online to see a piece of that interview, and he says, you know, I'm just here to be eye candy.
Yeah.
I'm just here to be eye candy. I'm like, that's your content in New York, that you're going to talk like that? Why Israel is weighing in the balance and they might not live? They will live. But in the context of what we know as a people and what's happening and the threat that's coming against them, and you're going to go meet with Barbara Walters and Whoopi Goldberg and whoever these other ones are that are on the show. And he and his wife was there, and his wife did most of the talking that was there. Michelle did. And He said, he said that Michelle's the only one that can make me angry. There's nobody, and he just keeps his calm and his cool.
Right.
And so Barbara says, well, how do you do that? And she says, a whole bunch of ways. Ding, ding, ding. Wow. Anyway, so it's not the place to be when Israel's being threatened as America's leader. Remember, we're one country, we're one people, we're a nation. We're talking about a nation.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't yet, you know, seen on VFN TV, you've got to see, is the nation under God's judgment? You're going to be so blown away when you understand that God lets us know in advance, and you can understand the times that we're in. You need to go to VFN TV, and you need to watch. Take time. Stop the television viewing that just have whatever,
mm-hmm.
and go listen or watch, is the nation under God's judgment? And you're going to see right before your very eyes, we're in the final phase as a nation, of being judged if we don't turn. But when you understand, it's going to give you an understanding of what God's looking for. And if you find out what he's looking for, we can do what he wants, and then we can have what we want with our nation. And so we need to listen. So you can go to VFNTV.com and watch it. Watch it now, why it's prophecy, which is history in advance, so we can change history. You can change history when we listen prophetically, which is history in advance, what God says will happen if we do this, or what will happen if we do that. And so here we are at this moment in time, and things just move faster today. I wish my brain moved faster, but things move right. So fast right now. You have to narrow down to what you're going to focus on that day and put aside 98% of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But here our president, we were just talking about, you know, where we stand in the context of Israel as a nation. And Israel said, the president told Israel told Benjamin Netanyahu, which is the prime minister, which is Israel.
Mm-hmm.
America told Israel,
right.
Put it that way. He said, if you bomb Iran, you're on your own. And Iran's openly saying we want to annihilate them.
Mm-hmm.
And Valerie Jarrett, his personal assistant, who said on C-SPAN, while I was watching her being interviewed during the DNC, that she went to lunch with President Obama, well, that Senator Obama then, and his wife, Michelle, and they were talking.
Mm-hmm.
And she said they were, I think, wanting to know if he was the man that they wanted to support or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he saw how she listened to Michelle. And this is her statement. She said, you know, I saw that he listens to his wife. When I knew that he listens to his wife, you know, this is somebody that, you know, I can support. And then, of course, then we watch The View, and he says, and she says, you know, nobody can upset him but me.
Mm-hmm.
So he listens to the one who can upset him. Did you have, you know what I'm saying? This is like interesting stuff. But Valerie Jarrett, you know, I was interested in her because I thought she's a pretty cool woman. I'm thinking from mm-hmm. a distance, I'm looking and watching, and I thought, you know, just felt, you know, thought she's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's going on? How, you know, it's great to have people around you that can help you out in decision making. And I didn't realize every decision was being run through her.
Mm.
It seems allegedly. And so then I see a particular organizational chart for, you know, these communist parties and things are taking place in America, and we'll be talking about that in the future, and communism, socialism, different things. And I saw, you know, her last name in there, but it was a man's name. So,
mm-hmm.
and she, you know, I'm thinking, well, this could be her husband or something. Let me go find out, you know, about her.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the Wikipedia type stuff that you know could be good or bad or whatever, but one thing it was accurate about, and it wasn't her husband. This whole thing, the communist thing, was not connected to her in that sense. What I was looking at,
mm-hmm.
and you remember that of all the in the Arab Spring of all the nations that cried out for help and something didn't even cry out for help, we swung in there to the rescue. We publicly spoke against their leaders. We said, it's time for you to step down. This is what our president was saying during that time.
All right.
He praised the Arab Spring and thought it was good. He empowered the Muslim Brotherhood through his... We're the most powerful nation in the world. America's the most powerful nation in the world. So when the president of the most powerful nation in the world shows up and brings somebody to the forefront and speaks positively about them, even though they're banned in Egypt...
Mm-hmm.
mm-hmm. you know, that brings them to a new level. And he kind of just basically built a speech. And in that speech is when he said, I consider it my job to defend Islam from every negative stereotype.
Right.
To fight against it mm-hmm. in the world, no matter where it's at. And, of course, eventually Muslim Brotherhood became president. One of the members of Morsi became president of Egypt. And so this, you put all this together and you start thinking about it. And then you look at, you know, our ambassador who just got killed, horrifically killed, the Marines that got killed. Now, I got news for you. And I'm going to pause it. We got to hear this. It's just really encouraging me. Mm-hmm. A new general I've never seen before. We have more of our soldiers killed yesterday from the people that we're mentoring in Afghanistan. And one of the arguments, the viewpoint about that, I understand it. This makes sense, is the fact that when we gave the Taliban a timeline that we're going to come out, the very ones we were mentoring, now what we're telling them, we're going to leave you on this date.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have to build a loyalty to the Taliban now. They have to prove wow. that I'm not one of these Americans. I'm one of you. And so this particular viewpoint that some of the guys are sharing makes a lot of sense, because you don't tell your enemy, oh, by the way, I'm not going to be at the bank for the next 3 months. So, hey, if you don't mind, you know,
right.
they're going to rob the bank. And it's horrific what's going on. I can't believe it. But nobody's saying anything. Nobody's saying anything about, you know, where's the fury? Where's the anger? Where's the betrayal? And nobody's just like kind of reasoning away why are right. our sons and daughters and mothers and fathers dead. But he said this, and I'm like, oh, it's so refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he said, I'm mad as hell about this. I'm that felt so good. That felt so good for somebody's mad that over 2,000 of our men and women are dying, and we're dying, you know, for friendly fire, you know, like 50, 60. And every day they're just being, you know, it's like, yeah, we should get mad as hell about this. And then it should drop us to our knees and cry out to God and say, you know, what are we doing wrong?
Mm-hmm.
But getting mad, get upset about your, if it was your son dying, you'd be upset. If it was your mother, your father, you know, people are not expendable. Think about the unique thing about America is that we say every life is important. You know, and I love that about Israel, that they won't leave one man behind. And we have to get back to that. And so he says, listen, we're willing to sacrifice a lot, but we're not willing to be murdered for this.
Mm.
I thought, oh my
God. Wow.
I think, man, I don't know who you are, General, but finally, and of course, by doing that, unless he got a permission, because he mm-hmm. is under the commander in chief. I mean, that's like a dichotomy, a totally different turnaround.
Mm.
And we need to get our guys out of there. If we're thinking about getting them out of there, we're trying to just take them now.
Yeah.
Not one more life should be lost over there. Not one more mother, not one more father, not one more son, not one more daughter. Don't play politics with the lives of our people.
Right.
And but then it felt refreshing. It's like, oh, sanity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you should be mad when people are killing your brothers and sisters. You know, especially when you've done all this to mentor them, to empower them, to get them out of that, and then they're turning on you. But that argument makes good sense. Like, if you're leaving me,
right.
then we're dead. And, you know, you and I had the privilege of not privilege, but we saw how they treat
mm-hmm.
what they perceive are not on their side. Remember when they lined them all up and they shot and they went all the way down a straight line and shot every single one of them.
Yeah.
And that's how they treat. That's how they're going to treat those that they believe that are not on, you know, the extreme Islamic Taliban, you know, side over there.
Mm-hmm.
And so here we are. Our president is at the United Nations. He's making this speech in the context of all this is going on. There's fires. Our ambassador's killed. He's talking about some video. It's the cause of a video when, you know, they come out later on saying it's not the cause of the video, which means you said something that was not true. In front of the United Nations and the world to be able to see, just to stir more people up about some video, trying to keep people away from what's really going to come out of that shower head at the concentration
right.
camp in a little bit. And so he makes this speech, and this is what he says, and it's so important. He says, the future, this is the president, this is President Barack Obama saying this to the world.
Right.
He said, the future must not belong The future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. What is he saying? He said, okay, let's, okay, today's the present. That means tomorrow's the future. So who is he saying the future should not be in our future? He's saying that those who slander the prophet Muhammad, is Muhammad, should not be in the future. And the thing is that, you know, if only 18% of Christians, professing Christians, are reading their Bible, that may, in a logical sense, like, what's the big deal with that? We have to understand what that means in the context of that. The Quran specifically says in Surah 572, Islam teaches that Christians blaspheme when they proclaim Christ is the Son of God. So the future does not belong to those who blaspheme or slander Muhammad. Mm-hmm. Somebody says, well, I'm not going to talk bad about him. Well, that's not what's going on. Pastor Youssef in Iran went to jail not because he talked bad about Muhammad. He didn't talk bad about him. Mm-hmm. He just said Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that's considered blaspheme. In Surah 5:72. And so we got to know what we're talking about when we sit here and say that, you know, when our president says the future does not belong to people who profess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Hello! And the church sits, we're like in a vacuum. A vacuum, if you're in a vacuum, it just kind of just sucks the air out. When the air is gone, sound doesn't travel because sound is sound wave. So therefore, if you're in a vacuum, there is no sound. It's like absent of sound moving. It doesn't move. And mm-hmm. Which means when I say that it's like America and the church is in a vacuum, we're in a vacuum. Right. And the church is deathly silent and secretly sneaking around and not even open enough to say who I'm standing up for from my local school board all the way up to the president of the United States, terrified to stand up for what's right and their values. Don't even know what the Ten Commandments say and being okay and saying, you know, I want to put them back on a wall over here. Being okay with God's people, not even knowing his voice or reading his word or being concerned where they are in the context of their heart, in the context of that. And our American leader, America just said to us, the church, that we don't belong in the future. And the church doesn't even know it. They talk about the Quran that one of our presidents had in his library. He had it printed so that America could read it to find out what I'm telling you. It wasn't so he could be a Muslim. It's so he could understand the Muslims. So he could understand Islam. Listen, God's people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Understand by saying that Muhammad is a true prophet of God is saying that he heard from God and that specifically that, which, if he heard from God, then Jesus is not the Son of God, because he says that Jesus is not the Son of God. As a matter of fact, he says they deny Jesus the Son of God and deny the Spirit of God. Mm-hmm. When you hear Allah, think God, not God, but think the word God, mm-hmm. Because you know, don't be confused over languages. You know, understand that America, there's other languages than Spanish and English. And when the word in the Quran in Surah 3:19, it says, surely the true religion with Allah or God is Islam. So they say that's the true religion. Mm-hmm. And those who were given the book, which is the Quran, did not disagree. But after knowledge had come to them out of mutual envy. And whoso denies the signs of Allah or denies the signs of their God then surely Allah is quick at reckoning. This is their God, and they believe. In the Quran, in Surah 385, and we'll hopefully make this available on the VFN Torch for you, and whoever seeks a religion other than Islam, I'm reading from the Quran here,
mm-hmm.
Whosoever seeks a religion other than Islam is sure not to be accepted of him, which is Allah or their mm-hmm. God, and in the hereafter he shall be among the losers. How shall Allah guide a people who disbelieved after their belief and after they bore witness that the messenger is true and after clear proof of Allah's sovereignty, mm. is not sovereign, had come unto them, and Allah guideth not wrongdoing folk. As for these, their reward is that upon them is the curse of Allah, and the angels, and of men altogether. And he goes on and says, again, in the Quran, in Surah 551, O you who believe, do not take the Jews and the Christians for friends. They are friends of each other. And whoever amongst you takes them for a friend, then surely he is one of them. Surely Allah does not guide the unjust people. Mm-hmm. I mean, you got to read it and understand. Uh-huh. So when somebody says that they're a follower of Islam, they're saying that I believe that Muhammad heard from God and Michael, the angel, gave him the Quran. And there's so many different twistings of the reality of what's going on. So you can't just say, hey, these are like bipolar opposites.
Yeah.
They're bipolar opposites. That's why you see them working so hard to shut the mouths of Jews and Christians, because they have to control it, right? Because they can't believe it, right?
Right.
But the difference is because our God's alive.
Right.
And we have eternal life with him. And the only way to God is through Jesus Christ, whom they deny as the Son of God. They just say he was a prophet.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to understand this is what's being said. When he says the future does not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam, which is Muhammad, that's just saying that you love Jesus and you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You got two things going on. First of all, you're saying that Jesus is God because he's the Son of God.
Mm-hmm.
You're also saying that he is the Son of God, which God is the Father. Mary, the Virgin Mary, is the mother, and God's Spirit hovered over Mary, and the seed of God went into the womb of woman. And all man, all God, Jesus, was born. They say that didn't happen.
Right.
And so you have to understand that is just to say Jesus Christ is the Son of God is considered speaking against or slandering Muhammad, because it would say like Muhammad is not telling the truth. They would say you're calling Muhammad a liar.
Right.
It's like, well, aren't you calling Jesus a liar? And it's like, this is not going to be some sort of peaceful transaction.
Mm.
Right? And I mean, everybody, especially Americans, they're like, oh, can't we just talk this through? Well, you can't compromise with Jesus, and you can love your enemies. You can pray for them. But understand, just saying that Jesus is the Son of God is considered confrontational to those who are loyal followers of Muhammad that follow the full Quran,
mm-hmm.
and definitely the radical, Islam, mm-hmm. Part of that. And so you're not going to get along in the context of that. And so the question is going to come, are we going to be like Pastor Youssef in Iran and say, well, I'm still, let me encourage you to do something here, because we're coming to the end of this first hour and we'll pick this up in the second. And I want to hear what the Lord said to you in your abiding time. Is you don't assume you have a relationship with God. You should know that you have a relationship with God. Mm-hmm. It is not time for you to be caught up in America's religion. It's not time for you to say, hey, my Sunday school attendance is 100%. You got 15 certificates because you've been baptized and you went through catechism and all those different things. It's time for you to know Jesus. You're going to have to know him. Listen, it's going to boil down to who do you say Jesus is? Do you say he's a prophet like Islam? Or do you say he's a son of God like Peter and like those who acknowledge him as the only way to God? I mean, it's coming. Listen, you cannot fake it till you make it. You're fixing a question is being brought to you right now. Who do you say Jesus is? Is he somebody that you avoid on all occasions, but you give him penance by showing up once or twice a month at a building somewhere? Mm-hmm. You know, squeezing your way through 15 minutes of a teaching, not knowing, and somebody held a gun to your head. After that, you couldn't even tell them what it was about. Even though you say that was great, and you go, what was it? They go, I can't tell you. You can't do that anymore. You're going to have to know him. You need to know him. You need to get into his word. You need to begin to abide with him. Listen, right now, if you don't have a plan to do this, most people want to do this. They just don't know how to do it. And religion makes it look so complicated that people just say, I have to let you do it and you tell me about it. That's not, God says, my sheep, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice and follow none other. You have to know his voice. Mm-hmm. You have to hear God speak to you. We have a plan for you right now at iabide.org. Go to iabide.org and instantly request that simple plan. Instantly it'll come to you and you'll have it right then at that one moment and begin now to abide with the Lord. Don't waste another moment, another time. Listen, you're not going to be able to depend on your political party. You're not going to be able to depend on your neighbor. You're going to have to depend on Jesus Christ. It's time for the professed loyalty to be a reality in your life. It is time for us as the church to be the church and begin to follow the great shepherd. My goodness, we're just talking about so many things that are taking place right now in regards to the prophetic fulfillment of the end times. I mean, you think about it, it's quickly. And, you know, that even though, you know, we can be walking right before God individually or as a group of believers, you know, and there are people in America, all over America, who love God and love Israel and are walking right before God. But as a nation as a whole, you know, a nation can be judged for how it makes a decision as a nation. Mm-hmm. And we're talking about, you know, how America just responded to Israel, mm-hmm. how our president was in the United Nations. And he said very specifically that the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. Mm-hmm. You know,
right.
And we're talking about, you know, what does that mean? It means very specifically that, you know, and they consider blaspheme, not just slander. Blaspheme is when you say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Mm-hmm. You know, people say, well, yeah, we can coexist. You can't coexist. Just saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you know, they consider that blaspheme if they get the rule of law for the United Nations. That you cannot. This is what they're working on. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton's already signed this thing in the United Nations. She's already signed it, saying that you cannot speak against the prophet Muhammad. Mm-hmm. She signed it. Now he shows up, the president shows up and says, the future must not belong to those who slander the prophet of Islam. The very thing that she signed already, the United Nations. So now he's speaking, confirming that was my will for this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And we understand now that, you know, saying that Jesus Christ is the Son of God mm-hmm. is blaspheming.
Right.
Muhammad. Mm. You know, in the Quran in Surah 10:68, they say, this is what it says. They said, Allah has begotten a son. Remember Allah, you could say God. Mm-hmm. Their God. God had begotten a son. And they say this. Mm-hmm. And it's exclamation mark. They say that Allah had begotten a son. Be he glorified. He is the most rich. To him belongs everything in heaven and on earth. That's what they're writing. You have no proof to support such blasphemy. Are you saying about Allah what you don't even know? Say, those who forge a lie against Allah shall not be successful. And the call to prayer talks about success.
Mm-hmm.
A little enjoyment in this world, and then to us, will be the return. Then shall we make them taste the severe penalty of their blasphemies. The future must not belong to the Jews and the Christians. That's what he's saying. And somebody says, you need to hear the entirety of what he said. Well, no, the entirety of what he said was, to be fair, we need to treat these, we need to respond that way to these other prophets. But it doesn't matter. You have to understand, if you say Jesus Christ is the Son of God, you violated, I mean, you're not going to be in his future. If he had his way based on what he's saying, let's just imagine. If he had his way based on what he said and what she signed, and what we're seeing take place based on his presence in Cairo and what his the care and the blind sheik and all the things that are taking place, and Congressman Michelle Bachmann, you got to go listen to that, where, you know, allegedly that Islam has infiltrated our government. You can see that on the VFN Torch. You add all this up, and it's not good for JJ.
Right.
You know, there's an article on the VFN Torch. You have to understand the context of everything needs to be measured by the reality of the Jews and Jesus. Even though Jesus is a Jew, he's the church, the firstborn amongst the church. And so when you say JJ, we're talking about Jews and Jesus. You can say, when everybody finishes everything, you're going to have to always ask the question, what about JJ? You know?
Right.
Because this whole plot and strategy, if it's of the adversary, is to destroy and annihilate and remove JJ.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it doesn't matter how much, I mean, Jesus was told himself by Satan that if you bow down and worship me, these kingdoms have been given to me and I'll give them to you.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't say, you're lying. No, because when man fell and gave the authority to Satan in the garden, that's when he was given the authority that he didn't have. And so when he told Jesus they were given to me, he wasn't lying to Jesus, but Jesus could care less what was given to him. And he was not going to worship God, his father, and he wasn't going to worship Satan.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you're going to find things crank up as things get closer and closer, and you'll find out that just great provision and stimuli and the transference of wealth or whatever, as long as you bow the knee to Satan,
mm-hmm.
to the Antichrist. If, in fact, saying Jesus Christ is the Son of God is considered blasphemy, because that Islam does not believe that God had a son.
Right.
You know, they would say God did not have a son, or they would say Allah did not have a son. And with that, they're denying him. And so there's contrast right there. So they're denying Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
They're denying that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God.
Right.
Okay. Anti-Christ, but it's a religion, right?
Right.
So it's an anti-Christ, anti-Jesus religion, right?
That's right.
It's an anti-JJ religion, by the way. It's anti-Jesus and Jews religion. And you think, why could they be so fierce? How could they be so driven to, so obviously, in front of everybody, hate the Christians and the Jews? It's because what has a hold of them? They believe the opposite of the gospel. And you can go and look at Islam versus Christianity, the Bible versus the Quran on the VFN Torch, and see them side by side. And you can watch, we have a movie in there, very interesting documentary that helps you put the two side by side and understand that they believe the opposite. Well, we're believing our Savior Jesus is going to be coming from heaven. They believe that theirs is going to be coming from a hole in the ground in Mecca.
Right.
Where we believe that the beast is going to come and set up an economy that you can't buy or sell without it. He's going to put a mark on you. We see that as a very negative thing. They say that their God's going to come out of the ground. That's Mecca. They're marching around that hole in the ground,
mm-hmm.
in Mecca. And that's where the Quran was given, I believe by angel, they say, was given to Muhammad. That's what, mm-hmm. they allegedly say. And so they're waiting for him to come there. So you may say, who wrote that book?
Right.
And so then, he's going to come out of the ground. He's going to put a mark on them that separates them from those who are not part of Islam, not part of Allah's family.
Mm-hmm.
And they see it as a positive thing because they believe the opposite of that, which makes sense. This is, you think, who would war against Jesus coming back? Who would make war against Jesus? The war has already been set up. It's the Bible versus the Quran. They believe that Jesus is going to come back and they're going to make war with their God against him. And they're going to be trying to kill Jesus. And but he says, but then the blood will be all the way up to the bridles of the horses. And the reason why somebody can do that is because they actually believe that Jesus is not the Son of God and that he's an enemy of their God, which I would say he is.
Right.
But he is the Son of God, but he's definitely not, if it's this demonic thing for it.
Mm-hmm.
And so things are being set up right now, like end time religion. And when you look at Revelation, it says that under the throne of God, the beheaded martyrs,
mm-hmm.
the beheaded martyrs, and it still wasn't full yet. And one of the punishments, for Islam, is a beheading. And, Pastor Youssef was, popular thanks to the ACLUJ and what they did. But every day, Christians are losing their life because they stand up for God.
Right.
We just happened to see that particular one. There's a lot of men and women in jail in Iran based on that. So I want to encourage you. Listen, our president just stood up and said this before the world, and he said the future does not belong. If you're a Christian, listen, this is what VFN Radio is for, the Christian, for the one's going astray, for the one that's being drawn to God, to the church. And so understand this. He doesn't see you in the future.
Right.
But notice that whatever was on Hitler, he didn't see the Jews as someone to be in the future. Right?
That's right.
Whatever came over him, and listen, that kind of hate and that kind of malice means somebody's overtaken with something. You know what I'm saying? One man can't conjure that much hate, but they can be, they can be like Legion and have the one man that had 1,000 different demonic strongholds. And they didn't see the Jews in the future. They wanted to annihilate and destroy all the Jews. Hello, church. There are brothers and sisters. We have been grafted into the vine that we need to get God's perspective of Israel and understand that they have a veil over the ones that have not yet believed. They have a veil over their eyes, and God's about to lift that veil. And once the full number of the Gentiles come in, which I don't know when that's going to be, but it seems like, my goodness, things are happening so quickly. That we got to pay close attention. It does matter. We should compare compassionately what happens to Israel. When our president, that the majority of Americans voted to put in office, that represent our country, stands against Christians and Jews, and he says he's a Christian, but when he says the future doesn't belong to those who actually slander Islam, mm-hmm. prophet, and Islam's prophet says that his book, the Quran, says, which is the word that he said he got, says that to say that Jesus Christ is the Son of God is not only to slander, but to blaspheme him. It's a you can't win.
Mm-hmm.
It's a lose-lose situation. Remember, they even say this person's a loser.
Yeah.
It says in the Quran. Yeah. It's a loser that says that. And what it is, think about it. You're looking at somebody who's jealous. You're looking at, the spirit of jealousy that's on Satan. And the Ishmael and Jacob,
mm-hmm.
and the jealousy and the embitterness that's happened over the years, and the only that kind of hate can only come from jealousy, And Satan was jealous day one. He was jealous day one when he wanted the glory that God was getting, and he wanted it,
mm-hmm.
and he got thrown out of heaven, and so his jealousy didn't go away. It just fueled, and now. Mm-hmm. He's jealous of you having a relationship with God that he can't have anymore. And you're made in the image and the likeness of God. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. And he wants to annihilate you. He wants to destroy anybody who acknowledges that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He loses, by the way, in the end. But understand, he's going to make war with the saints. He's going to make war. And so our president just stood up before all the nations of the world, right after our Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, signed an agreement that you shouldn't blaspheme or speak against the prophet Muhammad, and said, I'm in agreement with this, and I don't see this in the future. Listen, we need to wake up.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio program. Don't forget to share them with your friends. Find more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with the mobile VFN TV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.